Miles in Georgia.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno. I am thrilled to be able to talk with Dr. Elizabeth Weiss. She is the she is a distinguished professor of anthropology and the co-author of a book called Repatriation and Erasing the Past. And she once again finds herself embroiled in controversy. Dr. Weiss, it is so great to talk with you. Thank you for staying up late with us.
No problem. I'm happy to be on.
So let's talk a little bit about your book, just so people understand the concept of repatriation, and then it'll help them understand the other controversies that you're now enmeshed in. What exactly is your book about, and what is repatriation?
So repatriation is the giving of Native American remains, like skeletal remains or mummies or artifacts, to modern tribes. So these remains can be 10,000 years old or can be a couple hundred years old. And initially, when the U.S. was working on repatriation laws like the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, which is known as NAGPRA, to make it simple, the concept was that bones and artifacts would be returned to tribes that are associated with the remains. But it's because many of the remains are not associated with any living tribes, it grew, so to speak, and now even tribes from, even remains that have no extant tribes, existing tribes associated with them, are being repatriated.
So,
and this is, we see this mainly with like the Paleo Indians that are 10,000 years old and more.
So, if I understand, you're saying essentially that, okay, if there are tribes, if there's remains of, say, some Cherokee American Indians or Cherokee indigenous people, there'd be nothing wrong with returning those Cherokee remains to the modern Cherokee tribe, but there's not necessarily a big need to return remains to tribes that don't exist anymore. Do I have...
That's correct. And especially returning remains to tribes that are not related. So so not only that the tribes don't exist, but to then turn it to someone who would be not even related. It would be like myself claiming the remains of... individuals from Poland, you know?
Right.
So, and there's debate about, like personally, because my interest is in physical anthropology and skeletal remains, I would like to see no remains repatriated. But I understand that compromise can be possible. Unfortunately, I would say the other side of the repatriationists, so the repatriation activists, see no compromise. And they basically want to empty out the museums and the universities of all skeletal collections, regardless of who they're related
to. So explain to folks, Dr. Weiss, your position exactly. In a perfect world, why would you like to see no remains repatriated?
I think that people underestimate the value of a skeletal collection. So, you know, obviously we can use skeletal collection to tell us things about the past. So, for example, we can reconstruct what people died of, what their diet was, who they were related to, and so forth. But skeletal collections also help us with real-world applications that go beyond just the intellectual, such as identifying victims of crime. Forensic anthropologists have to learn how to identify victims of crime using skeletal collections, right? So the anthropologists have been really key in, of course, forensics, but also identifying victims of genocide, of human smuggling, of understanding the deaths on the border. And currently, there's actually a real big growth in anthropology in learning to identify remains from war prisoners. So, you know, whether that's the Korean War or the Vietnam War or World War II, giving people who maybe never thought they would have closure. And we learn how to do these things by looking at skeletal remains. And the skeletal remains don't necessarily have to be perfect. Actually, they shouldn't be. So, for example, cremated remains are studied to help learn about mass graves, for example. And anthropologists who study these remains have been key in doing work of identifying, for example, the September 11th victims. Mm-hmm. So it's not only an intellectual endeavor, it's also real-world applications that provide people closure.
So this controversy right now is taking place at the University of Pennsylvania, where the University of Pennsylvania Museum in April announced that they're going to return a collection of 1,000 human skulls, largely of the remains of African Americans, to their communities of origin. This comes after a year of anti-racism demonstrations on the campus of the University of Pennsylvania. Clearly, a lot of people are pretty worked up over this, Dr. Weiss. Why should these skulls not be returned to their communities of origin when clearly there are so many people on campus that feel it's the right thing to do?
Well, the Pennsylvania remains, they were discovered in Cuba, and they were sent over to the U.S. At that time, an anthropologist in Pennsylvania, Samuel Morton. And one of the things that this collection has been useful for is to understand differences in this cranial, so in the skull, of between blacks and whites and Asians and Hispanics. And this is a key aspect of trying to identify victims of crime, for example. And it's one of the things that a lot of people don't know is that we have collections that are from modern people, from donated bodies, but almost all of those donated bodies are of white Europeans, right? And so we don't have a lot of collections from other ethnicities. And so in order to really hone our skills to identify victims of crime, we need good comparative collections. So that's one of the reasons why it shouldn't go back. The other reason why it shouldn't go back is more ethical in a sense, is that these were African remains, and they came over to Cuba as slaves. And you could argue by sending them back to Cuba, you're sending them back to the place where they were enslaved. Ah. And so why would they, what is more ethical about sending them back to Cuba than keeping them in the U.S.? It's very difficult to tie them directly to specific tribes in Africa or specific locations in Africa. But if they did try to do that and did their best to do it and found some that were linked to specific locations, I would think that at least makes some ethical sense. But it's like, why are you going to send these skulls back to the place where the worst thing in the world happened to them?
Well, that makes sense to me. Now, the other aspect of the University of Pennsylvania demonstrations that they're raising, in addition to sending the skulls back to Cuba, are they want reparations for the descendants of these people, number one, and number two, they want no police on campus.
Right.
I imagine the policing issue might be a little outside of your specialty, but give me your take on the other two aspects of what these protesters or demonstrators are asking for.
I think the thing is that it's all a part of this kind of woke movement of, defund the police. Everything becomes about white racism. And we see this in the universities, not only like in this Penn State case, but at my university, professor from Princeton gave a talk, and he was talking about, you know, these concepts of defunding the police and about race differences and about the George Floyd case and so forth. And then he was talking about the Asian crime. And I brought up to his attention that I said, you know, what we see right now with a lot of the Asian crime is perpetrated by blacks. And I said, how does this fit in with your narrative? And basically he said, all of this is white supremacy. So if a black commits a crime against an Asian, it's white supremacy. It's racism from the whites.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
It doesn't make sense. So I think it's kind of, and I think that that whole, you know, the defund the police, the Black Lives Matter, the everything being white supremacy is wrapped around in this, you know. So, and I think it's part of a bigger movement to kind of move away from facts and objectivity and move into basically ideology of the postmodern, what we would call the postmodern world, where it's all about feelings and ideologies and not about facts and figures.
We're talking with Dr. Elizabeth Weiss. She is a distinguished professor of anthropology, and she's the co-author of the book Repatriation and Erasing the Past. Now, I understand you and your co-author were slated to give a talk to the Society for American Archaeology. Seems like an appropriate venue, given your expertise. Why did this become so controversial? What exactly happened?
So the talk was a sliver of the book, and it basically was about arguing that you should use scientific methods rather than myths, like creation myths or folklore, to make decisions on repatriations. So, like, you should use DNA and study the skull rather than just the folklore from modern tribes. And this is was what caused the controversy, that they said, you know, my idea or our idea of using science rather than the oral traditions is anti-indigenous and it's colonial, and there's really no true fact. The folklore or the myth is just as true as the scientific facts. And this kind of deconstructing knowledge or objectivity. So basically what happened was the talk was played once at its original time slot. And then what happened is before it was played, because it was pre-recorded, before it was played, a lot of people wanted it to not be played at all, but the society let it be played. But then it was supposed to be platformed on the Society for American Archaeology until July 17th. They pulled it. They only showed it once. They pulled it. And then they made the decision not to post it. And they put out an apology for having shown it.
I don't understand. What did you say that was so terrible exactly?
I basically said that we shouldn't be using creation myths to rebury bones. That if we're gonna use anything to make these decisions, it should be the science. I know that sounds absolutely crazy, that that would be controversial, but it is now, because it's basically framed as a racist thing to say, because I'm favoring science, which they consider white, over the indigenous folk.
Yeah, that is so bizarre. Well, it's sad that academia has become so hostile to discussions and debates about substantive academic or scientific ideas. I mean, it would strike me as such a great issue to have people that have a contrary point of view present their case for why they differ with you, not to have you silenced and attacked as some sort of a white supremacist. So, Elizabeth, well, let's stay in touch and let's have you back on the radio soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm going to link to a story about this University of Pennsylvania issue about whether or not it is a mistake to send these skulls back. I'm going to link to it on my Facebook page, facebook.com/MoranoFan, if you want to read it. That's 1-800-848-9222. If you want to comment on any portion of my discussion, you're welcome to give me a call, 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. And I once again want to tell you about how you can improve your digestion and your energy levels with the tea that makes you go. The product is called Life Change Tea. The website is getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. You will find you have a ton of energy without caffeine. You will find that you don't have difficulty being regular. The website, again, is getthetea.com. It comes in three delicious flavors. Pomegranate, that's my favorite. Mint, it's also very good. And just plain old regular. I throw a little lemon juice in there. I throw a little stevia in there. But, you know, you'll develop your own method. It's very refreshing, especially on a nice hot day like today is supposed to be. Pour yourself a nice ice-cold glass of this Life Change Tea, and you'll find you have energy, you're refreshed, and you'll find that you don't have yesterday's dinner lying around the pit of your stomach. You'll pass all that stuff pretty quickly. Let me give you the website again. It's getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And if you don't have a computer, you can also call them and order it by phone. The phone number is 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. And if you use the promo code Frank, either when you call or when you go to the website, getthetea.com, you'll get to enjoy free shipping anywhere in these United States. It's a great product at a great price. Getthetea.com, promo code Frank.